You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. I'm willing to bet that you, as a person, probably don't lie awake at night thinking about the balance between inflation and employment. Okay, well, unless you're Janet Yellen, then probably you do.
I'm very focused on trying to achieve our congressionally mandated objectives, and I really haven't had to give further thought at this point to this question.
There she was, the Federal Reserve Chair on Capitol Hill this week, saying she plans to serve out her full term. I'm Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. And when Janet Yellen says congressionally mandated objectives, what she means is keeping prices stable and creating full employment. That is what Congress says the Federal Reserve should do. And honestly, it's hard to know if we're there, in part because full employment is a confusing phrase. Right now, the unemployment rate is 4.4%. And if you were watching business TV about a week ago, you would have seen a bunch of reporters outside the Labor Department announce the latest job numbers on the air.
That may be one factor pushing up the unemployment rate to 4.4%.
The unemployment rate did tick slightly higher to 4.4%.
So that unemployment rate that we're seeing is starting to reflect a real full employment situation.
It's a pretty good report. And the 4.4% unemployment rate would be really good at pretty much any other time in U.S. history. But the job market is sort of like someone recovering from a nasty breakup. Yes, the recession is in the rearview mirror, but things don't always feel that good. And the tools we have to measure it all, like the unemployment rate, are a little blunt. They miss stuff, like the human cost of wanting a job but not having one, or not quite having the one you want. Martha Ross has been studying this at the Brookings Institution, and we brought her on. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I've been one of those people running out. You sprint to the cameras. You say how many jobs were created. You say what the unemployment rate was. What does someone like you look for instead?
Well, I do look at the unemployment rate because it is an important measure. But it's incomplete if you want to get a sense of how people are faring in the labor market. So another measure that I look at is the employment rate, which is the share of people who are working. And what you see there sometimes tells you a different story than the unemployment rate tells you.
You know, you and I use terms like in the labor market. And that can sound really academic. What does that mean if you are in the labor market?
Yeah, it's a good question. So there are a couple different ways to think about people in relation to work. One is the most simple and straightforward. You are working. You have a job for which you get paid. Another category is being unemployed, which means you aren't working. You want to work and you've actively looked in the past 4 weeks. Those two groups together equal the labor force. If you are, quote, not in the labor force, you could be doing a bunch of different things. It's not as clear cut. You could consider yourself retired. You could have disabilities that prevent you from working. Or you could really want a job but have not looked in the past 4 weeks because you don't think you can get one.
And the way the government counts the numbers, if you haven't looked, you don't get counted.
Right.
So I guess one question I have for you is when we think about what we know about the health of the labor market in the United States, are the tools we have that the Bureau of Labor Statistics puts out every month, are those good tools? Do they give us a decent picture?
They do. I think we over-rely on the unemployment rate. But part of the problem is different people ask different things of these measures. So on the one hand, you could look at the unemployment rate as a measure of economic performance on the assumption that we want, you know, high numbers of people to be working. You could also look at it as a measure of sort of human misery and hardship. Who is doing poorly? But the problem with that is that the consequences of unemployment differ, and you need more information sometimes to know how well or how poorly they're doing. If you are a breadwinner who was laid off and you've been unemployed for 5 months and your unemployment benefits are going to run out soon, you're probably pretty stressed out. If you are someone who is married to someone who is working full-time and you're looking for a part-time job, you're probably not as stressed out.
Do you think we should redefine what it means to have a job in America?
I think we should start thinking more broadly, because in some ways what these measures all count is what are you doing with your time? Are you working? Are you looking for work? And then we have this broad category of, are you doing something else? And often it's under – there are a few sort of socially accepted other activities to do, raising kids, going to school, that sort of thing. But that's a pretty narrow way of thinking about how someone can be productive and make a contribution to their families and their communities.
One question that we've asked on this show, and I know Kai Ryssdal has asked on his show, is, are we at full employment? It's this phrase that economists like to use, but it sounds like, you know, you have found these gaps where there are people who would like to have more work, and they don't have them. Do you think we're at full employment?
I don't know if we are. I mean, we haven't seen wages go up. Yeah. And if we were at full employment, I think there would be less slack in the labor market, and there'd be more demand, and you'd see wages increase. So here's where I go back to the measure of employment or unemployment, sort of the misery or hardship measure. And the folks who are more persistently disadvantaged with low levels of education, even in a, quote, full employment economy, it's not as likely that they're going to be okay.
What would you do to help those people be okay or get back to a more stable working situation?
Well, that is the hardest question of all. We just have so many people who have very limited work experience, so they aren't going to have the soft skills. And those people disproportionately have pretty low reading and math skills. And those two things are a huge barrier. But if you look at what the U.S. spends on what are called active labor market policies, you know, strategies to help people find a job, compared to other OECD countries, we're really low. We just don't prioritize it. We kind of throw people into the labor market and have them sink or swim. And we don't have the kind of partnerships between schools and community groups and employers that would create more structured pathways. It used to be that with a high school diploma, we could throw you into the labor market as a young person and assume it would work out for the best because you would get a job and you would earn good wages. And now that's not the case.
Martha Ross is a fellow in the Metropolitan Policy Program at the Brookings Institution. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Now let's hear from exactly who Martha Ross was talking about. People who've been out of work for a while or are maybe underemployed. That's how Karen Wilkinson describes herself. She lives in Sacramento, California.
And the last time I had full-time with benefits work was in 2014. And that is when I was laid off from a job as a news reporter for a news website here in Sacramento.
Since then, Karen has been doing freelance work, teaching yoga and writing for a magazine. She feels stressed, but not hopeless.
Somehow I've made it work. And it probably helps that the cost of living here is lower than some other parts of California.
Alyssa Paskin lives in New York City. She lost her full-time job at a law firm several years ago when the owners retired. Now at 62, she's been doing per diem work ever since. But that doesn't mean she isn't hoping for full-time employment, except Alyssa isn't sure when that's going to happen.
I honestly don't know, but I can't afford not to hope that things will be at least steadier.
She doesn't know if she has the network and connections to land a full-time job. And the burdens of not having a steady income are starting to add up.
Yeah, unless you're really, you know, financially well set, it's extremely, extremely stressful to be unemployed for anybody, but especially as you age.
But one of the biggest costs isn't financial, it's emotional.
You don't have a steady place to go, you tend to become more isolated. And they say the most unhealthy thing in terms of illness in people growing older is a social isolation.
Alyssa tries to make sure she isn't isolated. She takes care of an older friend. And that doesn't change the fact that she needs a job. But for today, she's hopeful.